Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Civil War, a narrative volume 1, Fort Sumter to Perryville, is the opening volume of Shelby Foote and his three-part narrative history of the American Civil War. First published in 1958 and later issued in the vintage Civil War library, it covers the crisis of secession, the firing on Fort Sumter, the early Union and Confederate campaigns, and the widening of the conflict through Antietam and Perryville in 1862. The book is primarily military history, but it also attends to political leadership, regional loyalties, public expectations, and the personal qualities of commanders and soldiers. Foote writes as a novelist turned historian, organizing events chronologically and emphasizing scene, character, movement, and consequence rather than formal historiographical debate. The result is a long, detailed account intended for readers who want the war to unfold as a connected national drama, supported by maps and grounded in extensive historical research. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, secession as a political crisis that becomes an armed national rupture. Foote begins the volume before the armies have fully formed. Because the war cannot be understood only as a sequence of battles, the narrative opens with the political disintegration of the Union, including the departure of Southern leaders from national institutions and the uncertainty surrounding federal authority in the seceded states. This framing matters because it shows that Fort Sumter was not an isolated military incident, but the visible point at which incompatible claims of sovereignty could no longer be managed through speeches, elections, or negotiation. Foote presents the early months of 1861 as a period in which decisions carried symbolic weight beyond their immediate tactical value. Holding or surrendering a fort, calling for volunteers, or moving state troops became acts that defined legitimacy. By treating secession as both political drama and military prelude, the book explains why many participants underestimated the coming scale of violence. The opening sections also establish a central pattern of the volume: political assumptions repeatedly collide with military realities. Secondly, Fort Sumter and the rapid transformation of volunteers into armies. The firing on Fort Sumter functions in the book as the hinge between crisis and war. Foote uses the event not simply to mark the first shots, but to show how public emotion, honor, federal policy, and Confederate resolve converted a constitutional conflict into mass mobilization. After Sumter, both sides moved quickly to raise troops, yet the narrative makes clear that enthusiasm did not equal preparedness. Early volunteers entered a war that many expected to be short, while government struggled with command structures, supply, training, and the political sensitivity of appointing generals. This transformation is one of the most important subjects of the volume because it explains the uneven quality of early operations. Armies were being created while campaigns were already underway. Foote gives attention to the gap between public confidence and institutional capacity, showing why the first year of the war produced confusion, miscalculation, and improvisation. The result is a picture of mobilization as energetic but unstable, shaped by patriotic excitement and administrative weakness. Thirdly, geography, rivers, railroads, and the widening operational map. A major strength of the volume is its attention to the physical and logistical shape of the war. Foote does not treat the Civil War as one continuous front, but as a set of connected theaters, each shaped by rivers, rail lines, mountain barriers, ports, and distances. The Eastern campaigns around Virginia receive substantial attention, but the Western theater is equally important, especially because movement along the Tennessee, Cumberland, and Mississippi river systems altered strategic possibilities. The book shows that control of transportation corridors could matter as much as battlefield courage. Campaigns were constrained by weather, supply lines, terrain, and the ability to concentrate troops at the right moment. This geographic emphasis helps readers understand why victories in the West could have national consequences, even when they were less prominent in public imagination than battles near Washington or Richmond. The maps included throughout the work support this approach by helping readers follow operational movement, not just isolated engagements. Strategy becomes inseparable from place. Fourthly, command character and the consequences of judgment under pressure. Foote is especially interested in commanders as historical actors whose temperaments affected events. The volume gives sustained attention to figures such as Abraham Lincoln, Jefferson Davis, George B. McClellan, Ulysses S. Grant, Albert Sidney Johnston, Stonewall Jackson, and Robert E. Lee. The emphasis is not merely biographical, but examines how caution, aggression, confidence, pride, and imagination translated into military decisions. In the early war, armies were often led by men still learning the scale and demands of modern command, and the results could be dramatic. McClellan, for example, is central to the problem of organization versus action, while Grant emerges through operations in the West as a commander willing to press advantages despite uncertainty. Flit also shows that leadership depended on relationships with governments, subordinates, and public opinion. This focus on command character gives the narrative its novelistic energy, but it also serves an analytical purpose. It demonstrates the campaign's turn not only on numbers and plans, but on judgment under incomplete information. Lastly, Antianum and Perryville as signs that the war would be long and destructive. The volume closes around the major 1862 clashes at Antianum in the east and Perryville in Kentucky, and these battles give the book a grim sense of historical acceleration. By this point, early hopes for a short war had collapsed. Casualties had mounted, armies had grown larger, and military outcomes were increasingly linked to political consequences. Antietam is especially important because it checked Lee and his first invasion of the North and created conditions under which Lincoln could move toward the Emancipation Proclamation. Perryville fought in the Western Theater, reflected the strategic contest for border and border-adjacent regions and the difficulty the Confederacy faced in converting offensive movement into lasting political gain. Foote presents these battles not as neat resolutions but as markers of escalation. They reveal the war expanding in scale, hardening in purpose, and becoming more destructive for soldiers and civilians alike. Ending the volume here gives readers a sense that the conflict has passed beyond improvisation into a prolonged struggle for national survival. In conclusion, this volume is best suited for readers who want an expansive, chronological, and vividly written account of the Civil War rather than a narrow academic monograph. Civil War enthusiasts will value the detail on campaigns, commanders, and theaters of operation, while general readers may find the narrative style more approachable than heavily specialized scholarship. Students can use it to build a broad understanding of how political rupture, mobilization, geography, and command decisions interacted during the first phase of the war, though it should be supplemented with more recent works on slavery, emancipation, social history, and historiographical debate. Its practical intellectual benefit lies in helping readers follow cause and consequence across a complex conflict without reducing the war to a list of battles. Compared with many Civil War histories, it stands out for scale, continuity, and literary force. Foote writes with the pacing and characterization of fiction while remaining within the framework of historical narrative. The book is lengthy and can be demanding, but that density is also its distinction. It gives the early war a coherent narrative architecture, showing how scattered decisions and campaigns accumulated into a national catastrophe. If you would like to support Shelby Foote, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.